This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Xiaoning and Chen Li. Let's get a quick update on how the bursa is looking like at 9:21 a.m.
Still in the red, the FBM KLCI is currently 1598, is down 0.36%.
And we're turning our attention now to the Straits Times Index, because last year the Singapore Straits Times was one of the best performing markets in Asia as it benefited from the general reopening of the regional economy.
And that trend continues in 2022, despite the Russian-Ukraine crisis, the rising inflationary pressures from high energy, grain and metal prices. So does Singapore still remain that safe haven market as the performance is still in positive territory on a year-to-date basis?
For some thoughts on this, we speak to Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. We're seeing DBS, OCBC, UOB leading the net institutional outflows for much of last week. Is this due to the Russian-Ukraine crisis? And how will these sanctions on Russia impact them?
Yeah, look, I think globally stocks have notched higher in volatility since late February, and this crisis has introduced a new element of uncertainty, which really has seen the hawks ahead of the FOMC on the 16th of March next week back off somewhat significantly. The first 3 weeks of Feb had seen expectations build significantly for a 50 basis point hike at this 16th of March FOMC. That had become the majority expectation before those majority expectations have quickly gravitated back to a less hawkish 25 basis point hike, with pretty much next to zero expectations for a 50 basis point hike next week at the moment. So banks, which do borrow short and lend long, they do maintain positive correlations in their net interest income to US interest rates. DBS, for instance, a few weeks back, mentioned that the bank maintained net interest income sensitivity of 18 million Sing to 20 million Sing dollars per basis point of US interest rates. So that implies a 25 basis point rise in US interest rates equates to around 450 to 50 million Sing dollars of additional net interest income. So those, with those expectations quickly coming back from a 50 basis point hike to a 25 basis point hike next week, we've seen a combined $470 million of net institutional outflow in the three banks, trimming their year-to-date net institutional inflow to around $510 million. And also, I guess, on the valuation front, the average price-to-book ratio of the three banks is back to within the range of the top quartile to top quintile of global banks by market value. And that pretty much followed that average price-to-book of the Singapore trio stretching to a 40% premium to book value, which was also a 10% premium to the top quintile and the top quartile of global banks. So back basically more aligned with the global peers as we were at the end of 2021.
Okay, Jeff, I want to talk a little bit about the sanctions on Russia. Do we know or can we see from the Singapore Stock Exchange what sectors could perhaps be impacted the most by these sanctions?
Yeah, I think the products or the services that have been directly or closely indirectly impacted by these unfortunate developments have been commodities, definitely commodity markets. So soft commodities have also taken much focus, as have the energy stocks. So for the direct impact, you've got wheat futures gaining 40% last week. Supply disruptions and planning uncertainty had driven the price of wheat higher, and I think USDA maintained that as of the end of last year, Russia accounted for 10% of global wheat production, Ukraine accounted for 4%. So this had a pretty big impact on the share price. Palm oils have also been impacted by the outlook, with supply disruptions on sunflower oil. So as you know, the Bursa Malaysia May CPO futures had a pretty strong week last week. I think it traded above 7,000 ringgit per tonne last week before returning to near that 6,300 level. And that's seen an impact in the stocks here. So the plantation stocks, Golden Agri Resources, First Resources and Bumitama, for instance, all put gains on last week. And for our three most traded CPO producers, they've maintain comparatively symmetrical returns so far this year of around 33%, 36%, and 43%. You've also got corn prices rising something like 11% last year. Last week, sugar futures were up 8% over the week as well, and that's lent the support to the food and agribusiness leader stocks. On the petroleum front, you've got the exploration and production companies seeing some pretty strong gains. Just last week, for instance, one of our most traded petroleum exploration and production companies rallied more than 60%. You've also got one of our stocks that is on the growth board transferring from the growth board, the catalyst board, to the main board effective tomorrow. And that stock's generated a 40% gain so far this year. So what really depends going forward, though, is how what the sub-drivers are as well. So you saw last week OPEC did announce it would stick to its original plan for that gradual production increase. Price support on the OPEC front, geopolitical tensions, and lower global production capacity from those reduced investments over the past 2 years, they were always poised to be key upside drivers this year. But
But you've got you've outlined what are the positives, I guess, from the Ukraine-Russian tension. But it's not all just blue skies, right? Yeah. So what should we be mindful of?
Yeah. Well, there's some of the safe haven plays we've seen. Gold, for instance. Investors go and put more money into the gold ETF. We saw the biggest, highest monthly trading turnover in February that we had seen for something like 15 months. So there's been a lot of global inflows into gold ETFs on the concern and the uncertainty. But what I'm trying to say is, by sharing all these commodity price developments, this has been a key driver of the uncertainty. The inflation that comes from the higher energy prices, at the same time, the supply chain bottlenecks, we're seeing no reprieve. Our Freightos Baltic Global Index hasn't given back much of those gains it made over the last 2 years. It's still trading at 6 times the pre-pandemic norm. So going into this year, we always thought inflation might taper out and peak in the middle of the year. But with what the geopolitical tensions have caused for the energy prices, as well as the supply chain bottlenecks, suggest this could continue further through the year. And that has put a dampener on a lot of, risk takers. And that's why we've seen equities basically reprice these risks and fall across the world in the beginning of the year.
All right, Jeff. Thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist at the Singapore Exchange, talking to us about how the geopolitical tensions are affecting the Singapore markets and beyond. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.